Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Yeah.
Everything we do is a result of whatever thoughts are rooted in our minds. Our peace, joy, confusion, and what we hold to be right or wrong all reside here. When our relationships become chaotic, it is a reflection of what we are holding in our minds. Depending on how we let our thoughts and beliefs influence every moment of our day, will determine how unstable or harmonious our relationships will be. We can decide to make a permanent residency with this confusion, or we will decide to use our minds to create a much more gratifying reality by first dispelling the myths we have lived by, most of which are not serving our highest good. Where do you stand with your beliefs? How do you choose to live? What fears are scaring your living space in the recesses of your mind?
The Healthy Wealthy Evolution. That sounds pretty powerful to me. Welcome to the Playground of Life. I am Omar Sofira, your hostess with the mostest. I am one with all truth, all beauty, all justice, and all love. Such a beautiful song delivered to you by Emma Bentley of the UK, and we have the pleasure to have her papa here in the studio on the Playground of Life. Yes, indeed. And before that, you heard yours truly with the infamous mind. And at the top, as per usual, we enjoy Pure Imagination by my good friend and comrade, Joyce Guerrilla. It's find this beautiful music on SeasonVictorStoneMusic.com. And if you want to capture that beautiful piece by Emma Bentley, you would just go to EmmaBentley.com. Well, how you doing? Wherever you are in the world, I trust that you are always expecting the unexpected. Because you're always going to get the unexpected anyway. So if you expect it, then you're on point. But my guest today on Playground is going to tell us all about that, how to rewrite our blueprint. You know how much we love blueprints here on the Playground. Rewriting, recreating, understanding that if we passionately love and appreciate who we are, we're fully playing. We're in time, we're in tune, and we're tapped in to the love that the universe is. So, are you ready to have your brain entrained? Do you see this the promo? I love that. I thought that was pretty cute. Yes, indeed. We have an expert on brain entraining, hypnosis, and meditation on the Playground Street. And he's going to share with us the difference between it. And I'm going to tell you, I am so excited because I find this subject very, very fascinating. For the last 2 or 3 years, it's really captured my attention. So how, and we may tell you how we met, but if we have time. But this was a very unique crossing of paths, and I'm so excited by it. This must seem into your imagination, and this only, you only have to have it there, you know, in the presence of that false source, whatever you want to call it, and be able to conceive it, be able to conceive to achieve it, is the masterfulness that we're dealing with this moment. For 50 years, my guest has been on this playground of life, serving as a pioneer in hypnosis and meditation. I'm gonna bring him on because time always runs from us just like pow down this playground. So we're gonna bring him on now. David comes is loaded with a lot of powerful tools, personal experiences, and pro wisdom, and you're gonna be hopeful when they get finished with them. David, are you with me?
Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you perfectly. Thank you for joining me, my friend.
My privilege. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Can you hear me okay?
Well, it's fading in and out a bit, I must admit, but, you know, we'll get there.
No, we can't have that. Let me see. Testing 1, 2. How am I doing?
Okay.
All right. So, the first question, David, whenever anyone comes on Life Conversations, is, who are you?
Who am I?
Who is
now, do you mean who am I in the vortex, in the continuum of life, where I came from before my bodily birth and after my bodily death? Or do you mean who I am for the last 69 years on our planet?
Either and or.
Either and or. Well, I can tell you more about me as a 69-year-old.
Okay, that's
and
okay.
I apologize to your listeners for my accent.
Don't apologize. We love it.
Okay. And so, who am I? Well, I am Gerald David Alan Bentley, and I was born here in the East Midlands of England 69 years ago to parents from a mismatched background. My mother came from a very wealthy family, and my father came from a well-to-do family, but he was never accepted into my mother's family fold, as it were. And I was the fourth of 5 children in my early days. I was just a child. My mother had another child who died in a hospital situation. And I was brought up in a household where we had this saying, spare the rod and spoil the child. So I was continually brutalized in my forming years by my mother, who would lock me in a coal cellar. By that, in the Midlands of England, there was lots of coal mining. And in those days, there was a hole outside the front of the house where the coal was poured down into the black cellar below the house, and I was locked in there as punishment, which led then to me, by the time I was having panic attacks, but locally we had a health service in Britain where I could go and see doctors, who of course who were drug regime people, but fortunately the one that I saw in my teens knew about hypnotism. I went off to see a hypnotist, and he helped me tremendously, which led me on the pathway of this altered state of consciousness, which I have taken myself through this journey, and probably thousands of others, because I was one of the first people, if not the first person in the United Kingdom, to give classes in a local education authority, in a county education authority, using the term hypnotism and hypnotherapy and hypnoanalysis. And I gave classes in the county from 1984 to 1990. And that, I grew with that. I was also giving classes for hypnotism in Seattle in the United States, visiting Canada. So who am I? Well, I'm certainly not the person that I was born to be on the pathway of this life. I have discovered many, many things through this altered state of consciousness, as I call it, or everybody else calls it. And, of course, in the early 1970s, brainwave entrainment was being discovered and used here in the UK, in London. And because of that, I've been able to step out of this bodily existence that we have in our everyday reality, and I've been able to step into another reality where I can find what the obstacles are in my life, I can find out how to get help, I can get advice, and I can find out what the end result is before I even start on the pathway to whatever it is I'm going on. And so that is what the book The Pursuit of Advantage is all about. So who am I? Well, I'm David Bentley, I'm 69, I have a 17-year-old genius daughter, a 55-year-old wife, and we live very comfortably, and we have assets and facets and a way of life that most people would envy. So that's who I am. Does that fit the bill?
Well, that fits the bill, even though it opens up a whole another, you know, well, I'm not going to want to take a break here, but anyway, you got me excited, David, what can I say? Okay. Tell your wife, don't get upset, it's a good kind of excited.
Well,
all of it is a good, all of it is a good kind of excitement. But anyway,
so if I can help anybody, if anybody can ask what I've done to get from where I was to where I am, and I can tell people, and the book does that, Pursuit of Advantage does that.
Yes, we're going to talk about
that. If I can ever help anybody, I'll tell them what I know and how to get out of the traumas of everyday life and the trauma from my childhood, then that's what I'm here to do.
Yes, indeed. And we appreciate you so much. You're a gem. And so when you talk about what happened with you, for you when you were younger with your mom locking you in the basement and things, and knowing, you know, what you know now, you know, I find it very fascinating that, you know, you got that brain. It's almost like you got brain entrainment, you know, back then, before you even knew about brain entrainment, you know, in terms of being able to have mind over matter and go into all the states to be able to be prepared to be who you are today, which I would tend to say is we are all thankful, because sometimes the path that we think we're supposed to take is not necessarily that path. But, you know, would you feel, how did you feel about that?
Well, I know exactly where you're coming from. When I was, I say in the video on the website, I realized that other people were having a far better life than I was, and I wanted to find out why. And after I'd seen this hypnotherapist, who was an ex-bus driver, and he started this investigation, and I felt this different way. I then realized that everything we do and everything we say and everything we are is as a result of those forming years. Now, I know some would say, oh, no, there's more to it than that because you've got your past life experiences, and that is true. But, you know, the most difficult thing, when you've got low self-esteem because you're told that you're useless and you're no good, and we're not talking about a basement here, like my home over in Canada, we're talking about a pitch black coal cellar. You couldn't see your hand, you couldn't see anything. So I worked on the premise in my young life that everybody knew what I knew. I thought everybody thought like I thought. They all knew what I knew. But then when I stood in the middle of the city nearby, steelmaking city Sheffield, and I saw a family beautifully dressed when I was filthy. I mean, you know, I was in dirty clothes and what have you. And I thought there's something wrong because my father was always wearing good suits and people around us were wearing nice clothes, but I was always down. And so after I saw the hypnotherapist, he released some of the trauma about me being locked in the cellar where I was screaming to get out, of course. And from that moment forth, I started to do things better. I was now working, and I started buying myself my own clothes rather than the handed-down clothes from my two older brothers. And so when I then started reading the work of James Braid and Freud and started looking into the classic ways of psychoanalysis, I started looking more and more into myself, and I started talking to other people about it in my teens. And they would say, can you help, you know, can you talk to me? And we did various things. And for many years, I then went off and saw various therapists who were around. There was probably one hypnotherapist in every town in England, if there was one at all, because she was classed as being demonic. And anyway, I made a good friend of a friend in Doncaster, Arthur Hall, who was a hypnotherapist, and he taught me a great deal. And of course, regressive techniques and rebirthing techniques were used in a roundabout way, but not awfully known about. The therapist would just issue suggestions. They would do a few tests to make sure that you were either asleep or half asleep or whatever the state was, and then they would say, look, you think well about yourself, or they make positive suggestions. Well, of course, things have gone on a long way since then. I would sit and try and meditate or try and relax, and the more I tried to relax, the more upset I got. And I did all these things, but then in the early 1970s, I heard of a chap down in London called Maxwell Cade, and he was a scientist, and what had been happening was pilots flying over from Germany in the Second World War, coming back into the sun, were going into a hypnotic trance. And he'd been asked, and others had been asked, to find out why pilots were going into trance. And they discovered, of course, it was the flickering lights. As the sunshine came through the propellers, the pilot would go off into this trance state. And they'd been working on this mechanized way of getting you into a hypnotic state. I'll use that terminology, plain language. And Max Cade was, without a shadow of a doubt, even though Oster in America put an article in the American Journal of Medicine in 1972 about brainwave entrainment, Max Cade was already using a stroboscope to flicker into the eyes of the victim sat there, who would then go off into these altered states, hypnotic states, if you will. And of course, and sound was being used, not only just a voice lulling people down, but music, and this was recognised that the sound could calm you down, and by slowing the lights down, you would by slowing the stroboscope light, that was, that you would go into the trance state. And of course, then it started interviewing things. Well, then the great things started to happen. Electronics came on, and my good friend Dennis Eifer was the patent holder of the LED, the light emitting diode, well, the crystal growth for it. And by now they had a printed circuit that would help Max Cade and Jeff Blundell make the first mind mirror. And this was a device working on light emitting diodes that would show the amplitude or the power and the frequency of the electronic output of the brain. And so by the middle 1970s, this device was made, and people could be tested, Max was testing people, to see what was happening. And so we knew that what some people thought was meditation, or the hypnotic state, actually wasn't when we were testing other people. And what that meant was that some people thought they were in a trance state when they weren't, and others could easily go into this trance state. So after a while, we found that where various frequencies were encountered, people could slip through the gateway into what we would call the unconscious reality. You understand? So when we got to certain frequencies, this well, they would say that the corpus callosum opened between the brain and we went into the flow state. And, and at that, people would then start to be able to have communications with not only themselves, but something outside themselves. So we found that there were frequencies where you could go back in your own lifetime and discuss your childhood and the effects thereof, but you could also slip through this gateway into another reality. Now, this was all happening by the middle 70s, and by the early 80s, or the late 70s, I should say, I met Charles Tebbets up in Seattle, who had the biggest training institute in the American Northwest, and he'd been working down in California with people like Gilboyn and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and all kinds of Michael Preston in Phoenix, Arizona. And these people were all working on the use of hypnotism to get people well. And that, in the case of Charles Tebbets, meant what he called parts therapy. And what he found by that was that you could get people into a deeply relaxed state, hypnosis, if you will, and he would start asking for the problem. And, of course, it always boils down to two things. People would come along to see people like me by that time for one of two reasons. Either A, they couldn't do what they want to do, or two, they were doing something they didn't want to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they were either they were eating too much, or they were overindulging in something, or smoking cigarettes, or they couldn't achieve success, and every time something came along it seemed to go away, which is a slightly different aspect. So anyway, Charles would have people ask what the problem was, and then he would say, could I call you a name? And then is there another part that can do it? And this other part would usually come along and say, yes, I think it's all right. And so we would have this discussion between the several parts of the human being. And they would say, oh, yes, my name is whoever the person's name was. Then they'd have another name. And they'd be amazed at the expression on the face of people in trance state that they'd actually got another character in them. Now, to go on in leaps and bounds, Charles was very successful at this, and I did courses at his school up in the Northwest, and that work is still going on today by Roy Hunter. And I, when I came back to the UK, I still had the use of the mind mirror. I still have my 1979-80 mind mirror here. And I was ahead of the game because I got people coming to me because I was running classes locally where people would come along.
Excuse me, did you say you had a mind mirror? Was it a physical mirror?
No. What it is the device that Max Cade invented. They knew that they got this. This was the name of the machine that by fastening microphones on your head, it would find the frequency of the output of your brain, the electrical frequency. And it was a bank of two sets of LEDs, and he called it, the machine, the mind mirror. And, of course, at that, I've got another 40 years' experience since then, so I know a lot more about what's happening than we knew then. But anyway, I came back to the UK, although I was travelling backwards and forwards every week, and I could then, because I didn't take the mind mirror to the States, it cost me about £1,500, I think, at that time, which was, you could buy a new car for less. And so I was using Charles' technique of this parts therapy, but allying it at the same to the mind mirror. And of course, at that time, we had this big strobe dish about 18 inches wide with a light that flashed in the middle. Well, since then, we now have computerized LEDs that operate. I use a company, I don't know if you can say what I'm using, but I use photosynthesis equipment from California, I don't know if I can say that. But these are small handheld computerized devices now, that when we had things, they were like massive television sets that we had to use. So I was using now the mind mirror to see what frequencies the brain was emitting whilst I was doing the analysis in what we would call the hypnotic state. And so I found out where the brain, various brain patterns were, that if I could get that person to that brain pattern, then I could get the answers directly from them. And we had, there were amazing things went on. People would go back into ancient languages, And wow. The most amazing things would happen. And then Stevenson over in University of Carolina, he was having these kind of things happening with him, and people were having to be hospitalized because they were going back into ancient languages and they couldn't bring them back out of the trance state. And of course, I had the ability with the strobe scope and the mind mirror, the machine, to know where they were, so I knew when they were back out to consciousness in what's called beta frequencies. But the thing is on that, that people have got the idea now, it's all over the internet, that if you just use this frequency or that frequency, then this effect is taking place. And I've got to say that people talk about chakras, and of course the chakra, or chakra as you want to call it, is the root word for the Westerner, like you and I in English, of character. And there aren't little wheels going up and down your spine and above your head. I've interviewed thousands of people and nobody's ever seen that. We look to the work now of Dr. Konstantin Kolotkov in Moscow, who has a GDV machine, and which are used in airports and all over the world now, and medical centres, because you can judge people's stress factor by the whole of the aura that they put out from the body. And so I found out, working through the years, that it wasn't only the brain that was putting out a frequency, but so was your heart, and so was your solar plexus. And it's now discovered that your heart actually monitors stress 6 whole seconds before your brain. And it was maybe 20 years ago, well, I mean, the reason we have a genius child is she has whole brain capacity. Her brain works equally both sides all the time.
You talk about your daughter.
That's about my daughter. Yeah, yeah. But so to get to where you want to go, and it describes this in the book, I realised then, and I know we've only got so much time, but I realised it's all right talking about going to hypnosis, issuing suggestions, and now people are talking about binaural sounds and isotronic sounds, and quite frankly, we were curing people of their phobias and of their life problems long before we'd heard of chakras or Reiki or any of this stuff. I'm not going to call it nonsense, although I view it as nonsense. We were having people come along with problems, and we were sorting out, because I and the people we work with realized that your 5 senses are your characters. Your 5 senses are what have to get together, as it were, for an incident to make a conditioned response to an incident. And after all this, I discovered then that when we were trying to get a whole brain capacity, when we were trying to get the brain to work together, why were we doing this? Well, of course, as computers have come on, and I've been using them heavily for quite a few years, I realized that your brain is no more than a hard drive. And we have a left brain and a right brain linked together by a map. And it's like having 2 computers working at the side of each other, 2 hard drives in 1 computer. So what makes the decision? What is this force in us that makes you decide what to do or what not to do? And people will come to me and say, I've got agoraphobia, or I can't go out, or I can't get on the bus, or I can't do this, or I can't do that. And then I would say, well, can you not do this all the time? Oh, well, sometimes I feel all right, and sometimes I don't. And then it came one day, well, like 17, 18 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, I went to a lady's house that I'd been to see about agoraphobia. Of course, she couldn't come out. And I went with her, and I decided to spend the whole morning with her. And about an hour into the conversation, I said, would you like to go and see your husband's business? Because she'd never been to see her own husband's business. And she said, oh, yes, I'd love to. I said, are you prepared to go now? Oh, yeah. And I've seen a complete difference in the character. She was a totally different character than the ones I'd seen at 9 o'clock. It was now 10 o'clock. And and she just got in my car. We drove to her husband's business, and we came back as if nothing had happened. Yet, every time I'd seen her, maybe 3 or 4 times before, she wouldn't go outside the front door.
Well,
so I thought, what on earth is going on here? Because it was like 2 people. And then, of course, people always say, I'm in 2 minds about this. Mm-hmm. Or, you know... And so I started to realize that we were accepting memories. I was going to various lectures, of course, and people were saying, we can stick a needle in your brain and some university and somebody has an image. And I thought, an image? and then they would see these things, and then I saw Dr. John Clark give a lecture, and he said every hour and a half we change from the dominant brain of one side to the other side being dominant. And what that meant was that every sensory perception down your left side of your body is monitored by your right brain, and vice versa. And then the penny dropped, as we say. I realized that if one side of this lady's brain was dominant when I was there and she couldn't go out, and the other side of her brain had become dominant and now she could go out, a whole different series of memories are held in one side of the brain to the other. And then, of course, it all started to fall into place. What is schizophrenia? Schizophrenia, when the fight between the two characters, the one that lives in the left and the one that lives in the right, has got so bad, a fight starts. And so we get the two characters fighting each other, and this is where we get self-harm, for instance. So I then started to think, how can I contact one side or the other? Well, it was easy. It was absolutely easy. I then worked out the brand of therapy that I now teach, and people are amazed that within a matter of seconds, I can get two different answers to the same question. So you say to people in the modus operandi that I use, do you love yourself? They'll say, yes. And then I'll just change hands and say, do you love yourself? And say, I don't. No, I don't. And then the look of exasperation on the face, because they've got two different answers. And so this comes, Ambassador, from left side and right side. And of course, you've got a left arm, a right arm, a left foot, a right foot, left heart, right heart, left brain, right brain. And all these sensory perceptions all work by smell, taste, touch, sight, and sound.
Right there. Because that's one of my favorite subjects is the senses. We're going to take a short break because we've been getting on me. So we're going to take a short break real quick, and then we're going to come right back.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversation. It's going to change your life.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way than a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Are you about work, 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 and no play? Adults have a tendency to stay busy and neglect their own health and well-being, while successful people take regular breaks, vacations, and timeouts to play, rest, rejuvenate, and tap into their creative selves. Play and Heal is a unique opportunity for you to host a life-changing event in your very own living room, an event that is especially designed by you to facilitate the releasing of stress, balancing the mind, body, and spirit, not only for yourself, but of your friends and family, too. Whether you create a soiree, a ladies' night, or couples' event, these events are infused with the best of care, informative health information, and tools for stress maintenance that will shift how you see yourself and empower you to begin to work in cooperation with your best life. This event is sure to put a smile on your heart and send your spirit soaring. To book your Play and Heal event today, go to playandheal.org. Or you can email us at info@playandheal.org.
Mom?
Dad? You think if we talk about sex, I'll no longer be your little muffin head, your pumpkin face, talking to me about sex?
Tell me to wait.
Sure, it'll change our relationship. It'll make us closer. And go to fourparents.gov for help on how to talk about sex. This is important.
Tell me to wait to have sex.
And don't worry, I'll always be your muffin head, your cuddle bug,
your butterbean.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Yes, we're back. David, are you still here with me on the playground?
Yes,
I can hear you. Yes, indeed. Now, I had so many questions for you, and this time is like running away so quickly. I told you it would. So, now, I've been curious. You know, this month's theme is imagination, and you, every time I say it, you say, oh, yeah, imagination. So please tell me about that before I ask you all of my other 5,000 questions.
Okay. Well, we've got the people say, I think it's a figment of my imagination. You must have heard that all over the world. Well, of course, it's your image nation. You also have your sound nation. You have your touch nation, your taste nation, and your smell nation. Right?
Yes.
And, okay, now, Ambassador, the person who sees and has the images is not the same character that has the sight. The person who has sight is not the same person who listens. And that is not the same person who touches or tastes or smells. Now, here's a simple thing that anybody can do. If you just get a piece of paper and you write on it whatever you want to say. I always use the term, I love you. Mm-hmm. And I write on the piece of paper, I love you, in big writing. And then I'll say to somebody, say to it, sit the person in front of you, whether it's the same sex or whoever it is, you just say to them, I love you. And they, if they are a listening person, their eyes will light up or whatever, and they'll be impressed by what you say. If they are a seeing person, they'll just look at you. You then put the note in front of their eyes that says, I love you. And the devastation on their face is unbelievable. And I do this usually every day with somebody. Now, I'm saying the reason the newscast is on the TV, you'll see somebody talking and people will be listening, and then they run it in type underneath, in text, underneath. Because the people who are reading it, or the part of you that's reading it, is not the person who is listening.
Mm.
You know, that just takes me on to something, you know. If you watch people in the stress, and they're playing a game maybe, like I used to watch a lot of chess players, and you used to notice then that when they were stressed, their left leg would start to shake. Usually, 80 to 90% of the people, their left leg would start to shake. And then I would look at, on odd occasions, it would be the right. And then it dawned on me one day when I was watching a woman smack her child's left leg with her right hand.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, that's a conditioned response. He's frightened, and now he's had his leg smacked. Of course, it's a conditioned response. If I go round the back of you, and I stick a needle in your back, and you can't see me, you will know you've got a needle stuck in your back, without seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I then realise that your skin, being an organ of sensory perception, is that we've got, these things have got their own memory. And then I came to the conclusion that the mind, as we call it, the mind loosely, is all of you, every bit of you. Your skin, all right, people would say, well, there's another part, you've got another body outside your body, and the work of Dr. Kolotkov proves that. But it means to me that if you walk into a room, I mean, I used to go to school in the middle, and it always smelled like damp cabbage in the dining hall. And if you go there, you smell this, you think, oh my God, it reminds me of school. Or you know what the smell does for you. If something smells good, how it makes the whole of you feel. And
right.
Of course, smell, the olfactory, is the only sense of perception that goes directly into your brain. That's why gas kills. Gas kills your brain. Goes straight into everything else, goes through the ganglionic mass. So if you see something, it goes through the optic nerve, through the ganglionic mass. And so it does with touch and taste, but smell doesn't. And so the person who read it, couples would come along through the past. I mean, I've had 50 years of it. And people would come along, well, I've had nearly 50, 48 years. And people would come and say, I would say, do you tell your wife you love her? Oh, well, she knows I love her. No, I didn't say that. Can you tell her you love her? Well, I do tell her I love her. And she'll look at him and say, no, he doesn't. So I say, so I get them to write it down and say, no, I've got to show her that. And of course, she loved it because it was written. So I said, that is because some people are dominant in reading or sight and some are dominant in sound. And it's as simple as that. Now, of course, you get people in another funny term, neural linguistic programming. You find this everywhere you look, everywhere you can see, when you talk about parent, adult, child, when you put all these things together, and we've now got the use of the of light and sound technology, it doesn't take many minutes to be able to go into someone's history to find out what the traumas are and how it came about. So I have founded my practice. What I do is I use light and sound technology to get the brain and the heart and the solar plexus to vibrate. I then use a vibrational device, either a chair or a massager, and I put a tuner on that so I know that the vibration that they are feeling is at the same pitch as the sound that they're hearing, and then at the same frequency of light, because of course that sound equals a particular color, and a particular light and sound really are vibration, and I put then physical vibration to it, and we get the instant changes that we get. And that's what takes people from feeling ill, whether they're physically ill and showing a tumor, or whether they just are behaving in a way that they don't want to behave.
Okay.
They can't behave in the way they want to behave. So that's why I've had world champions of not only physical sports, but of board games and all kinds of people to release this stress. Does that make sense?
Have I described
that okay?
We have a question that was related to, someone asked a question related to what you were saying about, he's asking, can you explain what you mean about not being the same person listening or watching?
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that it is not only the same, we would call the, if I take it outside to a perception of many people that I've had who've gone through this gateway to have conversations with something outside what we would consider our everyday reality in life now, there are seven lords of the universe: light, sound, wind, earth, intelligence, and grain. And when you, this is what I call the chakra system that the ancient Hindu texts talked about. They talked about seven characters, not seven little wheels going up your body and over your head. It didn't say that. It said that there are these seven things. Now, when you see the work of Korotkov, the really big Kirlian, used to be Kirlian photography, long wave photography, but when you see the GDV images that now have, everything emanates from the solar plexus, the sun of the body. Solar, the sun, plexus was the ancient Greek, the body. The sun of the body, the ganglionic mass behind your stomach. You see that this aura goes out as much as 9 feet. And of course, this is what the night intensifying ultra cameras that can see, that police use and the military use, when they see people at night, they've got this aura image running around. That is our electrical conductive image. And so we have these seven things around us, of which there are light and sound. There's also, as I said, smell, taste, touch, intelligence, and grain, food, your body, sustenance. And so if I get someone to close one eye, I'll tell this out loud now, and look at something, and then describe it, then cover the other eye and look at it with the opposite eye, they will see something completely different, and they will perceive it differently. Now, you have to have, your brain works like a sine wave, like an electrical sine wave current. It flicks from side to side. Now, every hour and a half, one side of your brain is dominant, and then it'll slip back over again. That's why you go and do an examination, or you have a conversation, and you think, oh, I can't remember it. And then an hour and a half later, it's there. You've got it.
Okay.
The answer, you think, oh, I wish I'd have said that, or whatever. That's when it becomes dominant. But every nanosecond, the electrical conductivity is flicking between the two brains. And so when you see something, you monitor it into what these chakra people, it isn't a little weird, but it monitors in a part of us, what Charlie Temple would call a part. And so the part that is reading and accept that as information is not the part that accepts sound as information. So when we use light and sound together, now we talk about binaural sounds, isotronic sounds, music modulation, whatever you want to call about it, filtering, audio-visual entrainment, call it what you will, if we use sound only, we'll get an effect.
Right.
If we then use light with it, we then get the effect much quicker and much more profound.
Right.
Because getting your sight and your sound to work together makes the conditioned response that you react to.
It's like lightning and thunder.
Exactly. If your mother or a person of authority comes to you when you're in your forming years, when your brain frequencies are running slowly, and they shout at you, snarl at you, and smack you, they've touched you, you've seen it, you've heard it, and you will also smell it. And it goes into the dominant brain that was dominant at that time as a conditioned response to that incident.
Wow.
And so when a similar incident comes along, but the opposite side happens to be dominant at that moment, it doesn't feel bad.
Wow.
But if that dominant brain is at that time the one that was dominant when the first incident, the conditioned response, took place, or the sensitizing or traumatizing event took place, you will feel fear and come under stress.
Okay, all right. Or
when that stressor comes along, it goes through the roof.
David, let me just say we have a couple of minutes left, and I'll do one thing. Is all of this information in the book? Most of it is in the book. Okay, good. So I want to make sure that they know where to get the book. And I want to ask you one pop quiz question, and that is, how does this affect aging process? Because I know that a lot of people want to hear about that before you
look. You know, I am 69 years old now, and I am fitter and better and healthier than when I was 49 or 39. Or 29. As I looked in the mirror today, and believe me, I do work a great... I have a mirror here that is full height, full wall, and you need that to be able to do the anti-aging business, to go through the methods that I show in the book. And I can tell you that in my own life, I looked in the mirror today, and I look better, and I feel better, and my heart is running smooth. When I think of the traumas that I went through for years, that things used to stress me, like people come to me now, I have a very famous sportsman just came, and he was afraid to go out and do his job, and I think to myself, a week later, he is a week older, and the problem's gone. So in my life, as I get older, I get healthier. So how does that fight? How does that sound?
Well, let me answer this. That brings me to my last question before we give them your website. How do you play, David? How do you purposely, passionately love, appreciate yourself every day? How did you go about that?
I play guitar. I've played guitar with some high-profile people, and only 6 months ago I stopped. We have a what we call a pub, a country village pub, a few miles away, where I went every Sunday night, and I played from 8:30 till 11:30, and I played and sang and played guitar. And, of course, I've spent 17 years helping raise my daughter, who is just about to complete a BSc in biochemistry. She's 17. And so I play the guitar, and I have some interests, and I'm very happy with what I do. I'm happy in the house. I'm happy with my music. I'm happy with my work. And I'm happy because I'm doing what I want to do. And if I don't feel like I want to do it, this is the difference between a professional and an amateur. An amateur can do a good job when they feel like it. A professional does a good job even when they don't feel like it.
I heard that. Okay, well, let's give everybody the place where they can find The Pursuit of Advantage. Oh, my goodness, I didn't even get to ask you about it. We're running out of time, and I didn't ask you, where did you come up with that name? Can you tell me in 30 seconds?
I can tell you in 10 seconds. A greater force than either of you or I can really describe. I can translate, I can go into this other reality, and I get the advice, I get to know what the end result is going to be, because I'll tell you in the next few seconds what we call the four Gospels in Christianity. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John are spirit guides. They are guides. That's what they were trying to tell us in the book, and these are the same guides. We call them that. Other religions give them different names. They call them their gods, but that's what I, raised as a Christian, call them. And although now I don't have any religion, because I feel like I have a direct contact with the infinite intelligence, which gives me what I've got. And that's the story to tell.
Well, let me just say, give them your website, because I know they're going to, even when they listen to the archives, they're going to be listening for your website address.
Well, my own website is thehiddenmind.com. The Hidden Mind. And the book is pursuitofadvantage.com.
Okay, pursuitofadvantage.com and thehiddenmind.com. Thank you so much, David Bentley. I'm looking forward to hearing from you again.
Ambassador, it's been my privilege. Thank you for putting up with me for an hour.
It's been a pleasure.
49 minutes and 20 seconds.
Thank you so much.
And to you and your audience, I wish for you everything that I have for myself. Because the more you give out, the more you get back.
Thank you so much. Big hugs to you. Thank you.
God bless.
Taking care. All right. Oh,
you too. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you. All right. All righty. Ready. Great. Okay. Well, we have gotten an hand awakening. And we're going to go out with awakening by Lee Chen. And next week, we'll be speaking to our good friend, Ebony Ram. So we'll look for you on the playground. Thank you so much for joining us. On Back to Alice.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting and the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.